Could you imagine? I don't want to spank him, honey. He might not like me. This is going to sound cruel and very unscriptural, and I really don't care. I thought my father hated me, and it kept me straight. I was 19 years old. I got hired with the company he worked for a summer job, and I saw a newspaper article of me on his desk, and I couldn't believe it. I'm unsaved. You know, this thing rushes through my mind. Does he like me? But that night after that bar, when I was with that girl and she said, "You want some acid? Because if I got the acid, I could get her." You know who I thought of at 20 years old? The Italian 45. Four this way and five this way. And that philosophy raised a generation of men. Hey man, have one more. No, because one more, even though I'm 20 years old, I'm going to walk in that house and I'm not going to be able to walk straight, and he's going to knock me out, and I don't care how many muscles I have and how many fights I've been in, I'm afraid of that man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverential trust. No, the fear of the Lord is I have a reverential trust for my father. No, I was afraid of him. And that's what, judge not. Don't say anything too hard. So we try to repackage truth in an unscriptural vehicle. Men sent from God preach. Now that could be preaching from a pulpit. That could be preaching up in a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch. It doesn't have to be fire and brimstone standing on a corner mad at everybody. But it's preaching. It's God's vehicle to deliver truth, to penetrate through the hearts of hard-hearted men. And it works! Today we have counseling. Everybody's a counselor. Everybody wants to get counseling. Tell me how much it works. I remember one time I went to a counseling seminar. And man, I was armed. Because preaching wasn't working with these hard heads. They were having marriage troubles. So I got all these facts. And you know, they make it sound like in the seminars, if you just reveal this truth to them in a gentle, loving way and dim the lights and give them a little foot manicure while you're at it, they'll come. And boy, this seemed like it's good. I mean, and you know why you think it works? Because it works for you. Because you're saying, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Sure, anyone that sees truth like this and laid out. And I the next day I had all the 5 points. If you just do this, this will happen in your marriage, you know, and he'll respond this way. And so this woman was on the phone with me, and I it was a basic seminar, Bill Gothard, probably 25 years ago. And man, I said, well, God could be trying to take his chisel and chisel your character to mold and make you to be like his son Jesus. And sometimes he'll bring irritations in our life. Do you know how a pearl is formed? A pearl is formed by a grain of sand. And I'm really feeling good about this, man. I got this counseling under my belt, and this woman's going to get it. And I get about 20 minutes into it. She goes, I did all that Gothard stuff. It didn't work. Just preach. If they don't like the preaching, let them move on and go get counseling. You know where she is today? Divorced, living in a trailer, shacking up a fornicator. You should have just counseled her. We're going to have a discussion relevant to the millennial generation. And I'm going to drag a deer back to the cabin in Naples with a tricycle. God's vehicle to deliver truth has always been men sent from God that preach. But you're trying to measure it by the response of men. And so you're bringing on philosophy and the rudiments of this world and the traditions of men and effeminate psychobabble. And you know what you got when it's all done? Sinners effeminately psychobabbling. I get so... You can connect with the faith community. Could you imagine... He knew me. I was 26 years old. I still had a resemblance of what I was when I was young. Can you imagine Jay Folk saying to me, would you like to connect with the faith community? Yeah. I would have slapped him. I would have said, get away from me, you girl. You know what attracted me and him? He was a man. That's right. It was the fishing derby season. And I hear him talking about the fishing derby, and I thought, man, ain't he one of them born-agains? You fish? Yeah, man, we fish. We hunt too. You hunt? You kill a deer? You don't kill deer. I didn't think those Bible people killed deer. Oh, yeah, man, we slaughter deer. Wait a minute. This guy's a man, and he believes in God. That appealed to me. A man sent from God. John came preaching. There's still a remnant of men that haven't been effeminized that are looking for that. Would you like to connect with the faith community? Misnomer number one, preaching is some antiquated, outdated method for the uneducated. After all, we're evolving. No, God said go and preach. Proclaim the truth in that vehicle. My heart to your heart. Your heart to their heart. And it's not always beating them on the head. That's what we got to get out of our mind. You mean just go to the workplace and preach? No, don't disguise the truth. Don't soft soap it. Don't water it down. Just proclaim it the way it is. See, our religion has become a head religion. That's why we have to counsel. Got to get in that mind, in the mind, and if we could just figure out the mind and connect the electrodes and the electrons and the neutrons, you'll be in the mess you're in. Preach! I remember one of the big guns that God used when they used to preach. Man, you'd go to those Bible conferences and it was like... there was nothing left of you by the end of the week. I used to take vacation the whole week. And this preacher had just taken this church. And I know they say that you're doing good if the church grows, but sometimes you're doing good if the church shrinks. Anyways, he come in there, and they had never heard preaching before. And he had a big, and it went from like, I don't know, 500 to 200. And he's preaching to 50, and there's like 25 people left. And he had a big chalkboard up there. Now, some of you young ones that are in here, ask your dad what a chalkboard is. They'll tell you. And he said he was in his office studying one morning, and he said he heard some like high heels coming down the floor. So he knew it was a woman. And he seen a little note come under the door. And it said, "Dear Pastor, we love you." Now, if you're a preacher or a ministry leader, when they say that, when they start out with that, just you're better off just to close it up and put it away. Because what's coming to you is not love. "We love you, but you need to feed the sheep. You need to feed the sheep like Warren Wiersbe." And this guy said, "I don't know who Warren Wiersbe was." He says, "I walked up into that pulpit. I got on that chalkboard, and I wrote, 'To whom it may concern, you can't feed dead sheep, you can only skin them. Now open your Bibles and let's have some preaching.'" I said, "I want to be that someday." Judge not. No, judge. Our stinking flesh needs to be judged. It needs to be crucified. It needs to be nailed to a cross daily. Men sent from God preach. They're not undercover agents for Jesus. They one way. No, Jesus is the way. Misnomer number two. Go to John chapter 1. And let me tell you something where we, there's a lot of good from the old times, but there's some bad from the old times. And one bad thing from the old times is, if we differ on something, and I'm not talking about five fundamentals, then you're just a satanic, Bible-rejecting, like you believe in the impeccability of Christ or not the impeccability of Christ, or you believe in the gap or you don't believe in the gap, or you believe Old Testament salvation, look forward to the cross, you believe Old Testament salvation, did this and that. Can one of us just maybe be wrong? Does the guy that does believe this or the guy that does, one of them have to be a Bible-rejecting, satanic, blind bat, backing up in a blizzard backwards, Christ-rejecting, or can he just be wrong? So if you disagree with the things I'm saying, one of us is wrong. Let's go have chicken cacciatore at lunch and we'll just go on with it, amen? I'm trying to help. John chapter 1, verse 17. And I want you to look at two sides of a balance in this verse and you tell me what's in the balances. For the law was given by Moses, but, this is the other side of the balance, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When did we say this truth thing is sort of opposite of grace? The analogy here is that if anything is opposite, the law is on one side and the grace and the truth is on the other side. Now look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ was full of both grace and truth. I heard a great definition. I've heard a lot of definitions of mercy and grace, but write this down, teachers. Mercy, Jesus got what we deserved. Grace, we get what He deserves. Think about that for 100 years. Jesus was full of both. They go together. One is not mean, one is not nice. One is not this, one is not that. They yoke together. Truth tells us of His grace. Now watch. Misnomer number three. Grace is more important than truth. Because after all, be careful, Bible teachers, it's first in the list. Let me give you a verse of list in the Bible. Faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is the last one on the list. Now, that I wouldn't make a Bible doctrine that every list that is, the last thing is the most important, but just be careful about ranking and all that stuff to try to line up with this modern thing that says, don't preach! Truth, oh, sharp, judge not! We talked about it last night. Get you a little stool. A stool. Can you see Mike Ireland on a stool? And a stool, the message is so weak and so short, it's more like a stool sample. Stool. Give me a pulpit. Give me a man. Give me a book. Give me some authority. Tell me what I am. Don't soft soap me. Go home with your little skinny jeans and Converse t-shirt. You might work for this generation, but you ain't going to produce what they produced back in them days. Misnomer number four. Grace is soft and fluffy. Truth is kind of mean and hard and crosses. Titus chapter 2. Just put up with me. You'll get the other side. For the grace, verse 11, he's writing to a young preacher, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I can remember Rex Harrison thundering this in 1987. Teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness. Ooh, don't say that in a modern pulpit. And worldly lust. That's why there's so much ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen, the grace of God teaches us to deny. It's not, truth is mean, grace is nice. That's hogwash, man. A man sent from God is not afraid to declare truth. And what you'll have when it's all done, if there be a few left, you'll have some men with you. Men sent from God preach. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The greatest love a man ever showed me was 28 and a half years ago when he preached to me. My greatest advances of growth in my Christian life were when men preached to me. And most of those times it wasn't a shout message. I could hardly gasp. God called me through preaching. He's kept me straight through preaching. And there is still a remnant of believers that are craving for it. And there's plenty of options. Preach! You look at the history of Israel. They started out when they were doing right. He gives them the priests. They're not doing so right. He gives them judges. They're getting worse. He gives them kings. But right before it's real, real bad, he sends prophets, the last line of defense before he judges this place. And you know what we need? We need preachers to stand in the gap and proclaim the truth, lest he burn our land. I remember learning in Bible Institute, pre-exilic prophets, exilic prophets and post-exilic prophets. And I remember one of them old preachers, that means before the captivity, during the captivity, or after the captivity, when these men preached, and this old preacher said, that just means before God kicks the snot out of you, while he's kicking the snot out of you, or after he kicks the snot out of you. Now put that on your little postcard that says, we don't have the church lady here, and you can come and have Jesus on tap. They'd pass a kidney stone. They wouldn't be able to handle it. I can't handle that other stuff, so make your choice. They wrote an article, one of these reporters went, and it says, Joel Osteen, this is what a lost man said, be careful when men speak well of you. Joel Osteen has a practical message. He speaks in a personal way, and he's not preachy or theological. I can't remember much Greek, Bob, but I think theo means God and logical means teach. So that means there's no God in his message. That's why there's 80,000 people that feel good about it. Not preachy? Men sent from God preach. Love God, love people. What does that mean? This is the new phrase. Love God, love people. Does that mean I kiss Bob, I love him? I raise my hands, I love God. What does that mean? Love God, love people. It's all boiled down to that. Love God, love people. Joel Osteen is your typical modern metro man. Just appeals to everybody. Oh, he got in that Larry King, and they said, what do you believe on homosexuality? Oh, that's not really my ministry, Larry. My dad was a preacher, you know, and I love my dad. And my dad, you know what's funny about everybody changing? It worked for them. But, you know, if you walked out of church and you weren't feeling guilty, then the Holy Spirit really didn't move. Listen, guilt is the sense of the soul. Love God, love people. Hey, the Bible says Solomon loved the Lord and he loved many strange wives too. You know what you need to get the adultery out of you? Preaching. You know what you need to get the porn out of you? Preaching. You know what you get the selfishness and pride? Preaching, preaching, preaching. That's what men need. Misnomer number five. Preaching doesn't love. 2 Chronicles 36. Let's straighten that one out. 2 Chronicles 36. No, preaching does love. Not preaching doesn't love. Because you're holding back the truth because you want to be liked. Second Chronicles 36, verse 14. Moreover, all of the chief of the priests of the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers. Do you know who his messengers are? You know what his messenger said? The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. The wicked will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You look at the message of the prophets and look what it said, by his messengers rising up betimes often and sending. Why? Why, God? Because he hated them? Because he was mean? Because he had compassion on his people. Compassion loves enough to die to what people think about me and preaches the truth of the word of God. And it's worked since the day of Pentecost. Now we got a better way and look at the results we have. Well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, we get real dispensational when we don't like it. So let's go to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. That's not even good enough for some people, but we'll look at it anyways. Mark chapter 10. Uh-oh, I did it again. I'm going to give you the verse. That rich young ruler came to Jesus. Some believe he's the Apostle Paul. And he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he gave him a big long list to try to get him convicted that he wasn't quite as good as he thought he was. And he said, oh, I've kept all those from my youth up. And he said, it said he loved him. And said, one thing thou lackest, go sell all that you have and follow me. Well, isn't that like lesson number 14 in discipleship? Let me tell you God's discipleship. Here's Jesus Christ's discipleship. Deny yourself, take up a cross, follow me, hate everybody but me, don't look back, bye, see you later, you want to follow, I'm going. Now listen, I got 50 discipleship courses and I'm discipling people all the time. I understand. But Jesus didn't pussyfoot around with people, man. He said, follow me, see ya. Except a man be born again. A guy comes to him and says, master, you're a teacher sent from God. It's obvious. Except a man be born again, he can't see this thing again. We got to see you later. No invitation? First Corinthians 1. Let's look at this preaching because the man sent from God preaches. Why aren't we preaching? Preaching saved our souls. Preaching saved our marriages. Preaching called us to the ministry. Preaching got us out soul winning. Preaching helped us. So if it's not of God trying to stifle our preaching, who is it of? Heresy is always based on some truth, but it's just warped a little bit. We got to get back to preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18. You know this verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that who? Foolishness. So what's that tell you? If you got a man of God telling you, don't be too preachy, they won't come, maybe he's one of the ones that's going to perish. That's what it says. The preaching of the cross. It's really stupid. Think about it in our own mentality, in our own little finite mind, preaching. A man up here with a bunch of men down there and a book open, you got to get right with God. That's crazy. Yet look at all the men. Yet look at all the churches all over the world since the day of Pentecost that have started through preaching. You know why God chooses preaching? So we can't take the credit. How do you take credit for ranting and raving on a man and declaring the truth of Scripture and he says, give us more? That don't make sense. But when you soft soap it and whitewash it and put all your little delicacies on there, and then they say, yeah, this is how we do it. That's why we're growing so much. I seen a deer growing on the side of the road the other day. He was on the ditch in the parkway. And every day I went by, he got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know how you know what that deer it really is? When you stick them. Then you'll find out what's really in there. That was free. The term you hear today, I'm just a voice in the wilderness, just a grain of sand, is the seeker. Preacher, if you preach, what about the seeker? I guarantee you, if you preach, the seeker will come. I'm going to show you. John chapter 4. You really want the seeker to come? John chapter 4. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's the seeker I'm looking for. God is the seeker. And if the place is empty, that's the seeker I want. God sought for a man. God is a seeker. Seek me and I'll be found. That's the seeker. And let God sort all the results out. We need preaching. We need young men. Listen, I looked at the mean age. I look at these men getting up off the altar. Man, it sounded like somebody was popping popcorn last night. Our mean age is getting older. A lot of you men were sitting in prayer meetings with Jerry Berry 25 years ago. There's probably more frost than not in this room. And I'm wondering if we get back to some preaching and producing men, if that might not appeal to our men a little bit more, instead of producing our little Justin Biebers with their skinny jeans and baggy looking. I better stop. I'm cultured now. I've been preaching all these years. I'm getting dignified. Paul told the preacher, he's manifested his word through preaching. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. John preach. Go to Luke chapter 4. Verse 43. Does Jesus have any bearing, or is this for the Jews in the tribulation? I mean, are we kingdom of God or what here? Verse 43. And he said unto them, I, say the next word,
must.
If Christ must preach, oh, I'm just trying to take on the attributes of Jesus. Gentleness and goodness and temperance and meekness. Yes, that's the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you what an attribute of Jesus is. I must preach. Why? The kingdom of God to other cities also. Therefore am I sent. He doesn't preach. They don't get the message. They don't get the message. They don't preach. They don't preach. We don't get the message. Thank God for preaching. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus preached. He commanded the 12, go and preach. Don't preach. Don't be too preachy. Just sort of ooze your way in with the faith community. And if you really want to connect, God has a connection spot for you. That's what girls like. And that's why girls are running our churches. And that's why the guys in our church in the new generation look like girls and talk like girls and preach like girls. Thank you, Bob. You can have Joel Osteen next year at the men's conference. You'll just love it. He said, what I declare unto you in darkness, preach from the housetops. Oh, I'm glad Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 saved? He didn't get up there and say, 7 ways to a victorious, new, vibrant life. I think he said, repent. I think he told the gospel. Paul preached. Philip preached. Stephen preached. He got a big crowd. What an idiot. Why would you preach when they stone you, when you can go and just weave in how to have a successful marriage and successful bank account. And I believe in biblical principles, don't get me wrong. But that guy preached what God told him to preach, and he got stoned. But somebody was watching that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament book that's sitting in your lap. Bad results. See what preaching does? It doesn't get anybody. Yeah, but who it did get counted? Got a man. A big old burly man that said, if that guy could go through that for him, whoo. And then, see, you're looking at people's outside. But you know what he said to Paul? You would have never recognized Paul kicking against the pricks. Would you? He's compelling men to blaspheme, hailing men and women to prison. He's killing people for the cause of Christ. And all the while, listen, just a little side note. You that got young children that are out in this world like I have one, don't look on the outward. Don't change your message. Just stick to this old book so that they got something to come back to. And because they're not hooked up with your God and they don't seem to be wanting what you, don't let that fool you. Because he told Apostle Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against a prick. And he said, when you're old, they will not depart from it. I think that those principles, that word you put, let it do its work and don't change. Noah saved his family. Jonah saved a city. Stop listening to the modern preacherettes with sermonettes that smoke cigarettes on stool samples and get under something that your and my stinking flesh needs, and that is preaching. Men sent from God preach. What do they preach? Back to Matthew's view, chapter 3. We're this bad, we might as well get worse. Chapter 3, verse 1, those days John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, oh, don't say it, please, John. Please, John. What did he say? Repent. Oh, kingdom of heaven must be the wrong dispensation. Well, let's go to Matthew 4. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that must be wrong dispensation. And then Peter got up there in Acts chapter 2 and... well, you know, we know that Peter, he was preaching, and those 3,000 that I think the Bible says were added to the church, that was sort of a, there's two churches, right? I think that was, I'll be gone soon. They were just sort of added to some other pre-church, sort of church Jewish thing. So that repent that he said to them, that's for someone else, preacher. No repent. How about Acts chapter 5? How about Acts chapter 17, 20 years after the day of Pentecost? They're still preaching repent. Maybe Paul didn't quite have the complete revelation. How about Acts chapter 20, 25 years after Pentecost? I know they were preaching repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but how about Acts chapter 26? We're 30 years. The book of Acts is almost ended. There's almost no more where for Paul to journey. We're running out of chapters. Here's the problem. Go to Acts 26. A big controversy that is solved with a simple verse. I had two men attack me one night, and I was a young preacher, man. Hey, if you want to get saved, repent and trust Christ. I didn't say to repent. You didn't repent till after you got saved. I'm sorry. Don't repent. That's the modern message. Don't feel a need to repent. Just believe. Three in one, one in three, the one in the middle died for me. Can you read a prayer? You can be saved. Acts chapter 26. Let me just help you on repentance. Verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles were in Acts 26. We're talking about Gentiles. That they should, say the next word, and turn to God and do, say the next, the rest of the sentence. See, you're confusing repentance with works meet for repentance. Two different things. Repent is within. Works meet for repentance is without. Are you saying a guy's got to quit smoking? I'm saying he got to be sorry for it. Are you saying a guy can't do this? I believe Christians are I believe Christians are capable of anything. But we've made this big division over if somebody has to be sorry. Listen, preaching repentance gets them lost. I think you got to be lost to get saved. And you grew a generation of men that loved God and were unashamed and unafraid to proclaim the gospel because they got beat down so low in their sin. And a man of God came along and said, if you'll turn from that, then be, there used to be tears on the altar. They didn't used to dance back then. Brother, you get under repentance preaching and your tears will... I can remember those meetings. There was so much snot coming out of my nose, I couldn't even breathe. I was so sorry. That'll keep you straight. Don't be afraid to preach repent. Don't be afraid to get under preaching. That's what men of God, they repent. Revelation 2. I think he's writing to churches, but maybe it's for the Jews in the tribulation. Because there is a church in the tribulation, right? Oh, I don't know. Okay, Revelation 2:21. Yes. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. What used to fix adultery was preaching. What used to keep us straight was fear of God taking so much in giving us space. And he says, you know what? You got one more tick on the clock. Men sent from God preach. They preach repentance. Now go to Matthew chapter 14. Men sent from God preach, they preach repentance, and they preach regardless if sinners like it or not, or saints. I mean, some of y'all came up last night and said, I like that. And I said, really? You sure? Your face didn't tell you. Matthew chapter 14, but that's okay. Verse 1. The time Herod the Tetrarch, he got a lot of power, heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto the servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in the prison, and for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said to him, it's not lawful for thee to have her. Not very seeker friendly. Sin is sin. And if I love you, I'll tell you. I draw a line. I got all those kids. I told you last night, I got 9 children. All but 8 of them are boys. That was the only rise I got out of you last night. But I draw a little line at the end of the driveway there. Why? Because I hate them? Because I want to keep things from them? No, going over that line keeps you in trouble. And if you go over that line, I'm going to give you a little, we'll call it a timeout. Time out. You're going to get a time out. I don't want a time out. And that little time out is just going to reinforce the real hurt you're going to get when you pass over that line. Let's preach enough to love people. Repent and get away from sin. It won't help you. Instead of coming up with volumes and volumes and volumes of tutti-frutti seminars and saying all things that you could say in one word, repent! Amen! Go to Acts 17. Let me give you this thing about results. Results, results. Everybody wants results. Now, don't get me wrong. There are Baptist preachers that are idiots on purpose. I mean, I know a guy, he's got 6 people in his church. And I believe in standards. And I don't believe standards keep you holy. They keep you safe. This guy's got 6 people in his church, and he's preaching against pleated pants. They were founded in 1971 by Vidal Sassoon. And us 6 are the only ones in the world that are right. That's why we don't have anyone in here. No, maybe we don't have anyone here because you're just an idiot. So you don't, this is heavy, you don't be an idiot on purpose. I've seen street preachers out there. Everybody thinks, and I don't blame them for what they see. I had a woman one time, guy was street preaching across the street from where we're. She said, Pastor, why is he mad? You're gonna fry like cheap bacon! You ought to be a hoe, you women ought to be home folding the laundry! I'm serious, man. One of my best days ever, I was in Manhattan where the Staten Island ferry comes in. And we were doing some public ministry there. There's got to be 1,000 people on this ferry. And they're waiting. They got 10 minutes. People are getting on. They're going to go. Can I have your attention, please? I'm a preacher. You ain't going nowhere. So just hear what I got to say. Let me give you the most beautiful truth you'll ever hear in your life. We're all sinners, and if you say you're not, I'm going to ask your girlfriend. laugh more than you guys do. Ha 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 ha. And listen, here's the deal. We are all sinners. And I give the gospel. I don't have to tell you that. Now listen, if you want to pray a simple prayer of faith, being sorry for your sin, knowing you've offended God, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, and asking Him to save you from your sin and hell, pray with me. Lord, I acknowledge, and I went through that sinner's prayer. I said, now if you prayed that prayer, why don't you just raise your hand and you're not ashamed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17. You're going to drown on the Staten Island Ferry. So I had to interject that. You're not an idiot on purpose. But Acts 17, let's look at the three responses, regardless of what you do. 17, 30... And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, one, some mocked. Two, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. 34, three, howbeit certain men clave and believed. Isn't that heavy? Some said no. Some said yes. Some said maybe. Well, if we just have our church in the Pearl Street Bar in Buffalo and call it Jesus on Tap, maybe they won't mock. Like the guy said last night that we read about, if we start a bodybuilders swingers ministry for Christians and the Christians or the sinners are swinging, then we'll just swing with the sinners, and if I tell the people about Jesus, and we'll get the ones that mock. And by the time we're said and done, we're not saying anything to anybody and we're not helping anyone. And we got people going to hell think they're going to heaven. We got a church that's filthy and fornicating and dirty because we are afraid to love people enough in spite of sinners not liking it. He looked at, you realize who he was talking to? Would you say that as much as we might have a disdain for our president? Now I know some, bless God, I'd say something to him. Buddy, you got to have some God in you to say, you're wrong. It's easy to say from a pulpit with a bunch of guys. You know what the doctor says? This is going to hurt a little bit, but it's going to help you. Imagine the dentist with his little Novocaine needle. Ooh, I just get weak in the knees thinking about it. If I give him this, he might not come back. Yeah, but if you don't give it to him, his teeth are rotting out of his head. He's going to look like an old man at 40 years old because he never brushes teeth. Mm, you can smell that stuff burning. Can't you just smell it right now? Why do I let this full-grown man put his hands in my mouth and jab me with that stuff? And he's drilling it. I can smell it. I can taste it. Because it helps me, even though it hurts. You know why a lot of people don't go to the dentist and their teeth are all rotted? Because it hurts. Well, feel good. And see how you end up. You that came up in the old days, I can say that now. You imagine your football coach worried about you quitting. Oh, I don't want to make him do too many push-ups. He might quit. Our football coaches kicked our rear ends with their feet. I'm going to report you. Report you? After they kicked you, if they told your father, he would kick you. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this.
What is the attorney general going to think?
You imagine your dad saying, I don't want to spank. He might not leave. He might leave me. You know what the Bible says? It says, supposing gain is godliness. We used to, believe it or not, we used to bodybuild. And I stopped when it came time to do what we call juice. You don't think those guys got that from buying that $30 a bottle protein drink that you saw them, I take Dynamo Muscle Milk, and this is how I got 27-inch biceps. Hint, no they didn't. They got that from illegal steroids. If you want to know what bodybuilders look like without steroids, look at Arnold now, and look at Franco Colombo now, and look at Frank Zane, and all those guys. But you know what those guys, listen, when me and him were doing it, they were shooting gorilla hormones into their muscles because they were addicted, be careful, to growth. Buddy, you get addicted to growth? If we're not growing, something's wrong. No, how about if we're growing spiritually? How about if, did Gideon, did his group grow when it whittled down to just the 300? Yes, right to the size that God wanted it. Did the disciples grow when Judas went to his own place? Yes, they grew. Do some churches grow when they split? Yes, a lot of times I've seen them grow. We get addicted to growth, we start soft soaping, and nobody wins. Might be bigger, but not necessarily better. Listen, and I love new people coming in as much as you all do. But I'm be honest with you, I don't get excited about musical churches anymore. We all kind of, us pastors in this region, we got a thing. I got a my own thing. If I see you come three times, that means, okay, they're shopping. Let me call this guy or that guy. I'm not going to hate the other preacher because my person leaves and goes to his church. That's crazy. People are finicky. Let them go. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. You go where you get fed. And again, I appreciate this region that we can have different stripes, but the main stripe we fellowship under is that cross right there. But I'm going to tell you, we should get our rush, not when visitors come, when the seeker comes, when he comes. And if he says to preach, and he says to preach repentance, and he says to preach it regardless if sinners like it, that's what men of God will do. And if he shows up, let it be me and him, and maybe I'll have to go back to Kodak. Oh, wait a minute, there isn't a Kodak anymore. Well, maybe I'll have to go to the restaurant across the street. Oh, that restaurant's gone too. I'll do something and be right that he might say, there is my man. This guy ends up decapitated. Let's go get him, boys. He didn't only preach if they liked it or not. He preached when they framed mischief through a law. See, that's what we like, Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel, yes I will. Dare to be a Daniel with the gospel. Yeah, on a flannel graph. But when they say, if you preach Leviticus 18:22, we're going to bring you to jail. If two of these guys in your church turn out to be sodomites and you marry people in your church and all of a sudden they say, we want to be married, and they set you up, we're going to send you to jail. We're going to close your church. We're going to close your business. I was preaching in Texas last week, man. I sat with some of those guys. Not the guys that were the original ones that were subpoenaed, but pastors, preachers from Texas. Now, the difference between the Texas preachers and us, come and get them. You know what was wonderful, what those Texas preachers said? Separation of church and state. That's what you've been crying for 50 years. Stay out of our pulpit. You ain't getting our sermons. They're from God, and God is separate from the state. Yeah, it's easy to say now. then you come with us. We're going to take your 501c3 away. Let's see, what do you got, a $500,000 budget? You've been in business for 5 years. You've been preaching this for that long. Close the doors. We'll take the property. It happens every day, ask David Gibbs. Brethren, we're facing a frightening day. And we're going to have to yoke up and just get along with our little differences if we're going to be men sent from God. Preaching repentance, whether they like it. And see, the Apostle Paul, they said, Paul, if you are you crazy? If you go there, you're going to die. What mean ye for to weep? I'm not, you know, Paul said, I'm already dead. I died May 17th, 1986, in a 1974 Chevy pickup driving down Lake Avenue. I died and I rose to newness of life. But I'll tell you what helps men do it at all cost. When they look around, he said, quit you not like a man, like men. Let's be men together, and that'll make it easier on all of us. Preacher.